This year is brought to you by TorahWeb.org.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Zatz. Shus Rav Shachter, Rav Zatz, Marv Rav Bosay. I'd like to reflect this morning upon the LGBTQ movement from the dual perspective of emunah and halacha. Correct emunah, correct belief, is the basis of everything. False or superficial belief not only falls short in fulfilling the mitzvah of emunah, but it vitiates, it undermines the totality of Torah. The meaningfulness of all Torah and mitzvahs is contingent upon true emunah. Talmud Torah, Tefillah, Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, etc. constitute acts of Avodas Hashem only when we truly believe in Him. Truly believe is a double entendre. The phrase denotes that the substance of the belief is objectively true and that the individual genuinely believes. So let's b'siyata d'shamaya probe what true belief in Hashem means and entails. Now, in truth, we should review all the Yud Gimel Ikarim. We're going to focus on one aspect which is especially relevant, especially pertinent to the application that we have in mind. The Rambam writes in Perek Chelek, in the Hakdama to Perek Chelek, where he presents the Yud Gimel Ikarim, HaYisod HaRishon Mitzias HaBor Yishtabach. The first fundamental principle is that of the existence of the Creator. Who and what this fundamental principle expresses, encapsulates, sheyesh sham motzui b'shleimus ofani hamitzias, that there exists the ultimately perfect being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately perfect. The Torah then explicates the corollary of this core belief, Hatzotam Impala, all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions are perfect. And in particular, Torah Sashem Tamimah, His Torah is perfect. What does genuine belief entail? Certainly it entails understanding, mental assent, and intellectual conviction. But it's not constricted to the cognitive realm. Belief is also measured by behavior. Following are a few somewhat random illustrations. Gentiles, according to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, are obligated to daven in an Eis Tzara. Although tefillah is never listed anywhere as one of the chiyuvim incumbent upon Bnei Noach, Rav Moshe reasons that it follows from their obligation to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One who genuinely believes prays in an Eis Tzara. Rav Chaim once chastised a devout family member who in practice hesitated to override Shabbos in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. And he granted him an apikoros. His reasoning? The Rambam writes that one who believes that it's prohibited to override Shabbos in such a situation is a heretic. The belief has to be translated into action. Belief and behavior must be commensurate. The definition of Avodah Zarah, according to the Rambam, is directing any act of religious worship to any creature, to Adava HaNivra, even though the idolater, in quotations, believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all-powerful, is solely sovereign. His belief is monotheistic, but his practice isn't. And therefore, he's considered a kofer. This last illustration is especially compelling. Genuine belief and behavior must be commensurate. Let's segue to review some of the Torah's teachings relating to homo and transsexuality and our obligations to and concerning LGBTQ individuals. The Torah most certainly does not disparage individuals who involuntarily experience same-sex attraction. The measure of a person is how he voluntarily behaves, not what he involuntarily experiences. We should marshal and generate, as needed, communal resources to fully support our brothers and sisters in implementing their unqualified commitment to the observance of all mitzvahs. We live in a historical era when, in general, religious coercion is unwarranted, counterproductive, and wrong. We thus oppose any type of unlawful discrimination against individuals who live an LGBTQ lifestyle. Moreover, we're always guided by the dictates of the Torah mandate, "Vahavta le'acha kamocha," as applicable. Homosexual behavior, both male and female, is absolutely, categorically forbidden for Jews and non-Jews. In communicating this truth, that is, teaching Torah honestly and accurately, one performs an extraordinary chesed. For Omer Belozer, Ma'adach Sir Pia Pasra V'chochma V'saros Chesed Al Lashana, V'chi Yesh Torah Shal Chesed V'yesh Torah She'inah Shal Chesed. What is the pasuk? What we know it from Eshes Chayil, refers to Torah's Chesed. That there's two types of Torah. The second of the two answers the Gemara presents, Ika de Amrei, Torah l'alam da zori Torah shel Chesed. When a person learns Torah with the intent to share that Torah, that's Torah shel Chesed. Honest, faithful teaching of Torah confers the intrinsic merit of Limud HaTorah. It also provides the roadmap for living an authentic life of Avodas Hashem, the only meaningful life, and the bridge to Nitzchias, Olam Haba. There's no greater chesed than that. Empathetically and supportively teaching the truth of Torah is not homophobic, it's the ultimate chesed. Conversely, when we allow political correctness or the McCarthyism of cancel culture to suppress or even soften the relevant truths of Torah, we become complicit in victimizing individuals who are struggling with their sexuality. As is the case with other radical movements cloaked in self-righteousness, the LGBTQ victimizes most those whom it purports to support. By advocating and even celebrating the range of Isurim represented by its moniker, the LGBTQ movement promotes sin and spiritual alienation. Additionally, it's abundantly self-evident that the unprecedented numbers of individuals sincerely struggling with sexuality is societally driven. Individual problems and struggles often translate in a way that mirrors societal problems, struggles, and evils. Thus, the LGBTQ movement first sows sexual confusion and anomaly, then it aggressively advocates for what is anathema. We must not retreat into silence and become complicit in that victimization. Speak we must, but in an uncensored fashion. When sourcing the prohibition, the verse in Vayikra must be cited in its entirety. The Torah not only categorically forbids, in this pasuk, speaking of male homosexual relations, it also brands them a to'eva, an abomination. As is plainly evident, in its condemnatory designation, the Torah is speaking of homosexual behavior, not chas v'shalom of individuals who involuntarily experience such an attraction. We commit a double offense if we elide the final phrase, to'eva hi. We're guilty of brazenly censoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we're also guilty of undermining the prohibition. The first assimilationist step in deference to LGBTQ pandering society is to soften the prohibition. It's naive to think that the assimilationist, accommodationist impulse does not carry the process further. Some people, while admirably trying to remain faithful to Torah, wrongly assert that that homosexual prohibitions are instances of chukim, that is, unintuitive commandments which do not accord with natural morality. This, however, is a dangerous apologetic distortion. The Mishnah in Maseches Horiyos, in detailing the halachos of triage, teaches that generally we prioritize redeeming a woman over a man from captivity. If, however, both will be forced into prostitution, then we prioritize redeeming the man. The Rambam, citing the Yerushalmi, explains, the crime of rape, which is repeatedly perpetrated in situations of forced prostitution, is always especially heinous. The heinousness of male prostitution, however, is further compounded by the fact that homosexual relations are abnormal. Ein darko v'chach. Similarly, in recounting a tale of Kiddush Hashem from Churban Bayis Sheni, the Bavli draws the same distinction. Ma'aseh b'dalid me'ez yeladim v'yelados shenishbu l'kolam. It happened in the course of the devastation of the Churban that 400 young boys and girls were taken captive and were going to be forced into prostitution. Hirgishu ba'atzmon l'mahin misbakshin. They sensed what their fate was going to be. Omru, so the girls took the initiative. Im onu tovim bayam, onu bo'in l'chayi ha'olam haba. If we preemptively kill ourselves by jumping into the ocean and drowning ourselves, will we have a share in olam haba? So the oldest amongst them reassured them that was the case. Kevin sheshamul yeladas kach, when after receiving that reassurance, kavtsu kulan v'nafla tal chayam, all the 400 girls jumped into the raging ocean and drowned. Nasu yeladim kal v'chol me ba'atzman v'omru, ma halalu shedarkan l'chach kach, onu she'en darkenu l'chach al achas v'kama v'kama. The boys reasoned that they certainly should drown themselves because the chilul Hashem of male prostitution, of homosexuality, which is aberrational, would be even greater. As evidenced by both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, the Torah's prohibition is a mishpat, an intuitive mitzvah which accords with natural morality. Moreover, the prohibition against homosexual relations is one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. The Rambam says that there are no chukim amongst the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. Hadas nota lahen. These mitzvahs comprise the natural universal religion. The Rav states this incontrovertible truth very candidly. Bestiality and homosexuality, both are considered unnatural acts. Unquote. The Ibn Ezra explains why the Torah labels homosexual relations a to'eva, an abomination, ki hu dovan nis'av l'nefesh kedosha afilu b'tolada. It's something which is naturally repugnant to the sacred soul. Another Torah teaching. According to Chazal, same-sex, in quotations, weddings, i.e., that is, formalizing such categorically prohibited relationships, represent the depths of depravity. How do we know that there was no nation more corrupt in their behavior than the Egyptians? Talmud Lomar, Kamasa Eretz Mitzrayim Lo Sasa. Uminayim shel ha'isa uma ba'uma she'esivu ma'aseyim yosem min ha'knanim. And how do we know that the people who inhabited Eretz Canaan also were unsurpassed in their hashchasa? Talmud Lomar, Kamasa Eretz Canaan Lo Sasa. Umeho yu osem. What do, these depraved peoples? Ha'ish nose la'ish. Amongst ancient peoples, none surpassed the depravity of the Egyptians and the Canaanites, and same-sex weddings epitomize that depravity. The prohibitions associated with such, again, each time in quotation marks, weddings are not limited to the, quote, marrying individuals. Regardless of one's intentions or motivations, which constitute the why of attendance, attending a wedding signifies joining in the public celebration of the nuptials, the what of attendance. Thus, attendees at a same-sex wedding join in celebrating a brazen defiance of Dvar Hashem. Accordingly, even attending such a wedding is an especially egregious form of Megala Ponim BaTorah, brazenly defying the Torah, and Chilul Hashem, publicly sinning, diminishing and debasing Kvod Shamayim. Gilui Panim BaTorah and Chilul Hashem, Isurim of ultimate severity, can never be countenanced, regardless of motivation or goal. Attendees at a same-sex wedding are also guilty of the Oven Godol, that's the way the Rambam classifies it, of machzik yidei ovei avera, encouraging and supporting people to persist in sinning. Trans surgery is an act of mutilation and castration, sirus, and is unequivocally forbidden. While these designations already reflect multiple serious prohibitions, there's an even more egregious, sacrilegious, ultimate violation at the root of trans surgery. At its core, the trans movement is part of a broader assault on truth in favor of unbridled personal autonomy and gratification. This movement began rejecting traditional moral and religious truths, including, but not limited to, sexual norms, and has proceeded to rejecting factual truth, including, but not limited to, gender identity. The rejection of truth operates under varying guises and employs a wide range of tactics. Trans surgery alleges to cure gender dysphoria. Under the cover of a largely societally manufactured problem and a fraudulent cure, it rebels against the truth of natural gender by surgically, outwardly destroying it. The medical team and patient partner in the rebellion. Increasingly, large swaths of society employ a different tactic. They outright deny objective gender identity and obsess over their pronouns. Reflecting on these segments of contemporary society, one can only say, together with the Lewis Carroll characters, most everyone's mad here. Stark, raving, mad. But madness is not the extent of it. The movement rejecting truth, of which the trans movement is a subsidiary, and trans surgery and expression, is at its core atheistic. It has effectively created for itself a relativistic, nihilistic world. And nihilism is religiously synonymous with Kfirah, a world which recognizes and welcomes the Borei Olam perforce is objectively real, wherein absolute truth exists and has been revealed, and there are established religious and moral norms. This is so because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes, He's the source of objective reality, and He has revealed absolute moral and religious norms. The staggeringly pervasive and militantly aggressive LGBTQ culture poses formidable challenges to someone who seeks to be a Yirei Shamayim, a Torah committed Jew. The following remarks focus on two of those emergent challenges. Kemase Eretz Mitzrayim sheyeshavtem al osasu, uchmase Eretz Kanan asher ani mevi eschem shama al osasu, uchukoseim lo selechu. Don't behave as they did in Mitzrayim, where you formerly dwelled. So too, don't behave as they do in Canaan, whither I am bringing you, and don't adopt their practices. At this point in the Torah, we're well acquainted with both Mitzrayim and Canaan. So why does the Torah now identify these locales respectively as Asher Yeshavtem Bo and Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shama? The Torah is cautioning us. Perhaps you think that you need not be mindful of this prohibition. You will reason that you will surely not be tempted to emulate such corrupt, reprehensible behavior. You will naturally, effortlessly, even mindlessly, comply because you viscerally recoil at the mere thought or mention of such behaviors. The Torah counters such complacency with a fundamental insight into human nature. What is commonplace, no matter how pathological and immoral, appears to us normal and acceptable. Such is human nature. If I venture outside and observe someone walking backwards, he appears strange. But if I observe such behavior day after day, and an ever-increasing number of people behaving that way, I unconsciously acclimate, and the behavior appears normal. Beware of their reprehensible behaviors, cautions the Torah, because you have had and will have extensive exposure. You are very susceptible and must continuously make a concerted effort to sustain and protect your Torah-based moral knowledge and instinct. Otherwise, to varying degrees, you will inevitably be affected and infected by the rampant, regnant, immoral culture. The omnipresent LGBTQ culture, the modern instantiation of Maase Eretz Mitzrayim and Maase Eretz Canaan, has directly challenged us. Will prolonged exposure to depravity erode our Torah moral values and distort beyond recognition our Torah moral compass? Will we become desensitized to and even accepting of immorality and brazenness, heretical nihilism? Sadly and tragically, our response has been deficient. The LGBTQ culture has, to varying degrees, perniciously affected and insidiously infected some Orthodox communities. The following shocking breach illustrates this most painful development and the degree of moral decay. Not so long ago, no Orthodox Jew presented with a nightmarish scenario of a same-sex marriage, would have ever considered, even for a fleeting moment, attending. Every Orthodox Jew would have viscerally recoiled at the prospect of celebrating the debauchery of Maasei Eretz Mitzrayim. And yet, today, some misguided Orthodox Jews attend such weddings. Another illustration, hopefully exceptional, nonetheless shocking in its cruelty, of moral confusion and decay. Nominally Orthodox parents cross-dress their children alongside other measures which they adopt, and thereby intentionally track them from a very young age to transition. Oy le'inayim shekach ro'os, oy le'oznayim shekach shomos. In response to the Asher Yeshavtem Bo challenge, we need to review the relevant, unequivocal Torah sources and thereby reinforce in our own minds and hearts the Torah's teachings. We need to restore our moral sensitivities so that we once again recognize that homosexual behaviors and transsexual initiatives are anathema. The review and reinforcement need to be ongoing to counter our constant exposure. Rabbonim need to give words of chizuk from the pulpit. The challenge must also be met educationally. Our day schools and yeshivas, b'kedusha u'v'tahara, at an age-appropriate time and in an age-appropriate fashion, need to be mechanech our children in this area, thereby educationally inoculating them, because they, having been born into a world that celebrates Maasei Eretz Mitzrayim, are especially vulnerable to the insidious influence of inevitable exposure. We face a second challenge as well. The LGBTQT culture is pervasive. With breathtaking speed, in large swaths of society, its ideology has not only emerged as an ideology amongst others, rather it has become the regnant orthodoxy, dogmatically asserted and ruthlessly imposed by cancel culture. Such morally and politically oppressive conditions can easily foster defensiveness, apologetics, and insecurity. Rather than succumb to societal pressures and adopt any of these postures, we need to proudly stand firm, unabashedly defend and abide by Torah morals and norms. Our very faith requires such a proud, principled response. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is perfect, blessed us with his perfect Torah, which is the source of absolute morality. One lives by divine truth and stands for divine morality with a sense of privilege, pride, and conviction, not, rachmana litzlan, apologetics and insecurity. Genuine belief and behavior must be commensurate. The Torah opens his magnum opus as follows. Yehuda Menteima Omer, Havi Az Kanomer, Vikal Kanesher, Rotz Katzvi, Vigibo Kari, Lasas Ritzon Avicha Shabashamayim. Be bold as a, what's a nomer, a leopard, be bold as a leopard. The first of the four directives that Yehuda Menteima gives. Hischel Be'ez, I skipped a few words. Hischel Be'ez, says the Torah, the fisher who called Godol ba'avodas habari is barach. He begins by accentuating the need for boldness because it's a major and overarching principle in avodas Hashem. The fisher po'amim adam chafetz lasos mitzvah. At times, a person's heart is in the right place. He wants to do a mitzvah, v'nimna lasosa. But he's inhibited from doing it because people scoff at him. People ridicule him. But Al Kain is here, and that's why Yehuda Ben Tema exhorts us, Shetoyez Panecha Keneged HaMaligin, that to be bold against those who scoff and ridicule. La'al timna milasas ha-mitzvah. And don't be intimidated. The Torah frames halacha and all halachic observance. This is the opening lines, the opening words of his compendium on halacha. The Torah frames halacha and all halachic observance with the lodestar words of Yehuda Ben Tema. And the Tana, in turn, prioritize boldness because it's a major overarching principle in Avodas Hashem. The Ramah takes his cue from the Torah. He too frames halachic observance by beginning his glosses to Shulchan Aruch with the following charge: V'lo yisbayesh mipnei b'nei odom hamaligin olav v'avodas Hashem yisbarach. A person should never ever be embarrassed, ashamed because of people who ridicule him for Avodas Hashem. Throughout our history, we've been called upon to walk in the footsteps of Avram Avinu HaIvri, who in his faith commitment stood on one side while the whole world stood in opposition on the other side. Ancient Mesopotamia was violently opposed to monotheism, and yet Avraham Avinu persevered. Without that perseverance, without that quality of bold stubbornness and steadfastness, the Jewish people would not have come into existence. Without emulating him, we can't continue to exist. We would, Rachmana Litzlan, assimilate and disappear. In our generation as well, we're called upon to inwardly think and outwardly behave cross-culturally. We proudly live by our Masorah, unapologetically transmit it in its entirety, and unabashedly observe all its halachos and implement its standards. Our unflinching, proud, principled stand rejects all aspects of the LGBTQ lifestyle, but simultaneously, emphatically and empathetically, encourages individuals who have strayed to return, seek guidance and support, and do tshuva. There's a potential vital corollary to our proudly upholding and implementing our faith commitment. The dogmatic LGBTQ orthodoxy has and continues to inhibit and suppress initiatives to genuinely help individuals who are struggling with same-sex attraction or confused gender identity. Instead of supporting efforts to discover pathways out of the morass, the regnant orthodoxy deepens it. One who is as kanome, however, is free from inhibition. We should be encouraging and supporting our outstanding mental health professionals, asher yu'osom kodemus l'chafmosom, to find a place, safe place, where they can legally devote themselves to helping sincerely struggling individuals who have been and are victimized by the societally driven sexual confusion and anomaly. I'd like to conclude just by sharing two further sources. The Torah's parsha of Irani Dachas deals with a city whose inhabitants engage in Avodah Zarah. The Rambam in the Maon Avuchim has a remarkable, remarkable comment. Kein hadin ledati ba'asher l'chol avera haneres kesosaris as hatova v'oyenes la. Lida'ati, listen to this, Maharav Rabbi Yossi. L'da'ati, in my opinion, says the Rambam, Ilu Adam Yisrael, if a Jew, Achal Basar B'chalav, would eat a cheeseburger, a lava shatnez, or gileach pa'as harosh, or would cut off the pa'as harosh, mitoch zilzul, not because of temptation, but because of contempt, v'hakola be'erkam, and dismissing them, mitoch deya, from a view, from a belief, shemimenu misbarer, from which it becomes clear, she'ein hu ma'amin ba'amitas hatzivui hazeh. It's clear from his behavior, he doesn't believe in the truth of this commandment. Hu hoya ve'enai, that individual in my eyes, says the Rambam, es Hashem hu megadef. He blasphemes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in a time, in a different time, in a different place, not in this day, not in this place, but in a different time, in a different place, Yesh laharogel so lo hariga shel onesh el b'tor kofer. He's dealt with, not punitively, but he's dealt with as a heretic. Ka'anshe ner hanidachas, who are also treated that way because of the heresy. If the Rambam were living today, instead of giving the examples, or alongside the examples of Basar V'Chalav, or the Levisha Shatnez, or Giluach Pa'as HaRosh, so the Rambam would have added Mishkav Zohar, he would have added Masa Eretz Mitzrayim, and he would have said, L'da'ati ilu Adam Yisrael engages in these behaviors mitoch zilzul, because of a contempt for Devar Hashem, for the Tzibur Hashem, mitoch hakola be'erkam, because he lightly dismisses them. Hu be'enai, he in my eyes, the Rambam says, es Hashem hu megadef. It's giduf, it's blasphemy. And the final source, and many of you are familiar with this, when the challenge of the day for American Jewry was the push to remove mechitzas from Orthodox shulin, and the argument was it was the only way to stop the hemorrhaging of people who were leaving Orthodox shulin and going to conservative temples. So the Rav spoke out very clearly, very forcefully, opposing it to the nth degree. I know beforehand the reaction to my letter on the part of our apostles of religious modernism and utilitarianism. Those two words are in quotation marks. If the Rav were writing today about our issue, he would say, in quotation marks, chesed, compassion. The quotation marks indicating spurious. They will certainly say that since a great majority of the recently constructed synagogues have abandoned separate seating, we must not be out of step with the masses. This type of reasoning could well be employed with regard to other religious precepts, such as the observance of Shabbos or the dietary laws. However, we must remember that an ethical or halachic principle decreed by God is not rendered void by the fact that the people refuse to abide by it. Its cogency and veracity are perennial and independent of compliance on the part of the multitudes. If the ethical norm, thou shalt not kill, has not lost its validity during the days of extermination camps and gas chambers, when millions of people were engaged in ruthless murder, but on the contrary, has been impregnated with deeper meaning and significance, then every halachic maxim assumes greater import in times of widespread disregard and unconcern. The greater the difficulty, the more biting the ridicule and sarcasm, and the more numerous the opponent, then the holier is the principle, and the more sacred is our duty to defend it. Repeating, the greater the difficulty, the more biting the ridicule and sarcasm, and the more numerous the opponent, then the holier is the principle, the holier is the principle, and the more sacred is our duty to defend it. In my opinion, says the Rav, the halachic dictum b'shas gzeres ha-malchus afilu mitzvah kalda kegon l'shenuye arkus ha-demesana yehoeg val-yavor, at a time of religious persecution through governmental decree, even for a minor custom, such as one involving changing a shoelace, let one suffer death sooner than transgress it, requiring of us a heroic stand in times of adversity, applies not only to political and religious persecution originated by some pagan ruler, but also to situations in which a small number of God-fearing and Torah-loyal people is confronted with a hostile attitude on the part of the majority dominated by a false philosophy. It's frightening how apt and targeted the Rav's words are today as well. Thank you. I get to see you soon.